Hey, Big Love fam, welcome to Super Freak. This is a high vibe podcast, y'all, exploring all things frequencies, how they govern form, shape our realities, and are the key to living from your full potential. It's non-woo convos about super woo shit, unpacking what I call the science of self, from body and soul literacy to the power of understanding vibration, higher consciousness, quantum physics, and spiritual psych. Let this podcast become a resource for you on your journey to self-mastery. If you're curious and ready to free your mind, unlock the body, and truly become limitless, then you're in the right place. I'm your host, Tally. This is Super Freak, awakening for the next gen. Let's go. You say the zero point and manifestation together. Is this the frequency we need to be in to feel the vision of what we want in our bodies? So when I talk about zero point runs completely in the center of Earth. It's in the center of all of us because she creates form and we're in reflection of her. And I'll say that when you're in the zero point, it just means that you're just deeply present in your body space. And I used to ignore the body for a long time. That is not helpful. So that's why there's a whole body literacy chapter in the book that's coming out. I'm really trying, you guys. It's like three more chapters left. And I'm like, oh, then edits. And then it'll be ready, you know, hopefully early summer. The more present you can be with your body, the more there's just this knowing that you're going to be okay and things are going to work out. Problem is, most of us are manifesting something in the future. Hasn't happened yet. And there's an anxiety. There's a wanting this thing right now. And that's great. We can look at several cases historically where people have overnight had success in quotes, like literally they just like, you know, would make a video and then all of a sudden all these things were happening for them and it absolutely blew them out. Totally destroyed them. Sequence of these things matter. So it really is understanding the patterns behind what it is that you want to create. And then the stories that come up along the way that are hindering you from having these things. So it's less about controlling the experience and more about being present in the moment of manifestation itself, of holding the vision that you want for your life. The next part is to release all control. Okay. All control around how the experience is going to come into form, how long these things are going to take. All y'all in sessions be like, when, Tally, when is this going to happen? And I was like, yeah, I could give you a probability, possibility, you know, time frame for yourself. But then I'm reading the version of you that's in that moment at that time. You have the possibility to change all of that for yourself based on how present you stay with yourself, how much you hold that present of, let's say, zero point energy, which is just you and your body dead center. That's the practice of being able to hold a single moment of time for as long as you possibly can. When you're holding a single moment of nothing, of now, for as long as you can, that's when things come into you much easier because you're not attached. Nothing is happening in the now. Literally nothing. You have no patterns in the now. You have no experience of yourself in the now. It's just pure nothingness and pure potential. So people kind of want to check out of this reality to experience pure potential. And I totally get that. However, the mastery truly is, and this is ongoing practice, is like the mundane, boring AF moments of just being able to see how you can course correct and come back into being in the center of your body space in the present moment, out of attachment, out of the future, just with yourself. And then just say, yeah, I'm actually just in a little bit of heaviness. And that's kind of what it is right now. Tuning in and seeing where you can move back into center. I mean, for a while, when I was living up in Northern California near Mount Shasta and all of that during COVID, I was cold plunging in freezing, freezing cold water all the time, all the time. And I am absolutely convinced it kept me from losing my mind completely, even though it was a really tough time at that time, just growth-wise. And I had like, was so close to coming fully online and I could feel it, not fully, but like more online. And I could feel like there was something else going on, but there was just so much still these thicker layers and running in the background that I was really, really frustrated. So I really get it. I really just do. I understand the frustration that you guys have. I get it. Just resistance. That's it. The more we can soften into the resistance of whatever it is we're feeling at every moment, you know, I've had so much of it coming up against, at least I've been coming up against myself with this book so much, more so than I thought I would. It's been very humbling and it's been very thrilling and it's been very validating. And I've had to let go of attachment and blow everything up. Timelines, all that stuff over and over and over again, and soften. The softening, right? The process of softening is like really the key, because it's utterly feminine, actually. Like the void, and which I'll talk about in a second, and creating is so utterly feminine. And most of the women that I work with, you know, men don't really ask me about creation. You know what I mean? My male clients, they don't ask me about manifestation creation. It's the women. And ladies, we're so in our masculine too much because we're trying to do all the things. That is a crazy, crazy wrench in manifestation. I'm just going to tell you right now, is the energy. There is no separation between who you are as a partner or as a wife in your partnerships or your marriages than who you are in business. Those things are not separate. There is no separation. Your feminine energy is guiding every aspect of your life. And most of us live multiple lives. We live a version of us that is in running our businesses, that's tougher, that's harder, it's negotiating, that's fierce, collecting money, yada, yada, more in our masculine. And then at home with our partners or ourselves, we're more feminine, or so we think. But if you really evaluated the energy come from space and started to assign a level of 1 to 10 on how much you're in your feminine energy, you would be surprised with those numbers not adding up. That math ain't mathing. And that's basically what I've had my ass kicked with pretty much this whole last like 6 months, is softening even more into my feminine energy. So much resistance around it because there was so many layers of wounding that I had to kind of reheal, right? Into a different layer, into a different whatever else. And most of the time, my manifestations or whatever, my things that I want to create, is just about experiencing the healing, experiencing and supporting the version of me that didn't really get what she needed. So this book that I'm writing is as much for y'all as it is for the teenage younger version of me that didn't think she could write, who always wanted to. It's what I went to school for. And so I have been like sharing the vulnerability online with not feeling like I was really a good writer, grammatically imperfect and misspelling errors and things like that. Just the details of things, I'm just like, oh, I'm so bored with them. Like, why? And coming to grips with having this learning curve of tapping into that myself in that way again, which is utterly feminine and deeply vulnerable and totally where the juice is. And I could cognitively understand it, but the experience in my body was very different. There was just these other layers that become revealed as we soften. And that's really the key to manifestation. So understanding zero point frequency is really about understanding this feminine, softer, vulnerable side of us. Doesn't matter if it's men, women, everything in between, the expression of gender. It's the softer side of us in balance with our primary energy navigation system. So for women, your primary energy is feminine energy. For men, your primary energy is masculine energy, but you need the alchemy of both. And that mixture, that elixir, and the percentage of those things running is kind of the determining factor of how anchored you feel within your own zero point. Another question is, when we let go of the vision, does that mean we don't think about it, or are we okay whether it does or doesn't happen? Do we then visualize and think about it happening? So part of the initial visualization process should really, again, being holding a very, very large vision that you want for your life. Okay, you hold the container. And ideally, that container is large enough to inspire you into action, right? Consistently. Once you think about it, though, it has already been created. So the thought process of it is actually happening later. Okay, this is where it gets a little tricky. But once you create the vision that you want for your life, you've caught the wave kind of after the structure and the form has already been placed. So it's just your job now to let it go and trust that it's happening. If it came into your thought, hello, it's already got a form to it. It's kind of like this wave that you're available to, and are you going to be the conduit for that? I'm going to be the conduit for Super Freak, right? That wave came into me, but there's like 15 other brands that I could have, or ideas that I could have brought into form, like constantly. It's just a constant ideation process. I'm just constantly ideating and creating new ideas and things like that because it's play. It's very, very fun. I don't think about those things coming into form. I don't feel like I have to be the conduit for those things. I don't run lack in that way with ideation creation. I know that I can always just create something else. I know that every iteration I've ever had in terms of my own identity has always been better when once I let things go and move into the next version of myself with no attachment. So again, the questions coming in are literally masking bottom line pattern of control and micromanagement. If you're micromanaging your manifestation process, there's other things going on. Like this book can launch or not launch. And I am so supremely unattached. Right? There's so much of the process and the journey that I've been through. Like I know all of the breadcrumbs that have gotten me to this moment right now where I'm literally recording this podcast for you guys. I know the breadcrumbs. I have a very clear idea of the journey because I've been deeply present to it. And that, my friend, is the party for real. It already feels like it's been a success because I moved through so many versions of myself to get to these last three chapters that it really could be the greatest book never, ever, you know, never published, right? Or it can just be like, I can look back at it and be like, oh, little baby Tally, look at her writing. Like, oh my God, I love that version of her. Good for her. You know, it's just been no attachment. I can look at myself as the observer of it, knowing who I was when I started the book versus who I am now. Manifestation in essence is like observing your own evolution in real time. And so you become so less attached to getting the things that you want, that you think you want, because it really doesn't even matter because you're constantly changing and the reverence that you have for yourself becomes so deep and beautiful and like loving that you kind of soften into the miracles and the synchronicities that are kind of constantly happening around you all the time. Even if it doesn't feel like that, you're able just to pull and hold on to a level of like trust, someone else's belief, right? Like I see you guys, borrow my belief until you can hold it for yourself. I hold that container for people. I hold their potential. That's basically what I am. A friend of mine, she's like, girl, I swear you're like the sacred catalyst. And I was like, girl, I'm trying to sacred catalyze myself, let alone everybody else. It's synergistic and it becomes a really beautiful reflection. I have had more crunchy days in the last month and a half than I have like, that's not exactly true. I probably would say it's been the opposite, but those crunchy days are heavy, like on the floor crying, like, oh my God, what am I even doing? Because it's like, that's real. Growth is pain sometimes, right? Most of the time it is. And, you know, I'm not going to stay a goldfish in my same container. I'm going to constantly try to push the edges of my own space time. Again, non-attachment to all this stuff is key. Ask yourself why you're attached to them. Why are you so attached? What does that have to do with who you are or who you think you are? What identity are these things attached to? So if you're wanting to move into a different role and aren't able to do that financially, I can think about a story when I had started We Are the New, my former branding agency. I had nothing before that. And I was like at the peak of my fashion career early on in my 30s. 30, 31, I had just gotten sober. I knew I needed to make a bunch of decisions differently in my life. Like I knew I needed to be a different person. I had run up against my own edges and lived a double life long enough. I was masking too much of myself. Sobriety really helped because at least I could be around a bunch of other creative misfits and not feel like such a loser. Because at the time, my self-esteem was absolutely shot. And I remember very, very clearly, it was November, it was Thanksgiving, and I had rented out the other room in this house that I totally couldn't afford in the Valley after I had been looking on and off for a while. I had put down my dog who had cancer. It was really sad, like a really sad time of transition and death and rebirth happening in mass. And the people that I had in my life were very supportive and very great, but I still felt like I wanted more. I wanted more for my life. I knew I was built for more. And what I meant by that, I didn't know what I meant by that at the time, but looking back on it, I wanted more access to myself. I just wanted to feel like I was seeing myself the way other people saw me. I was so veiled and I needed a different language set. I feel comfortable anywhere learning about modern mysticism without it feeling so supremely rooted in woo-ery. I was just so eye-rolly. And I remember clearly it was Thanksgiving and I knew I needed to be doing something different. I had tried to apply to like thousands and thousands of jobs. Honestly, I think it was like 1500 applications I sent out. It was such a joke. Like I just kept pushing and I was very high level executive. I mean, we're talking VP president level and sold, you know, ushered in selling a company to a very, very large conglomerate for a very specific amount of money. And I had used that money to go move back to New York for the third time, which is a whole other podcast, and bottomed out and ran out of money and had to like start my life all over again, which has been an ongoing theme of this build up, burnout, start, stop, and rebuilding my life. There was an aspect of me that had a pattern running where I was really great in crisis and really terrible with stability. So I would blow up stability, create crisis, and then go back and fix it. So I was constantly the fix-it person in my company dynamic anyways. I would come into companies that were really having a hard time with their own identity, really having a hard time with distribution, really having a hard time with product. And I would just work on each and every one of those things, tightening those things up. Just did it in a really short period of time. And so I stopped working with companies that were really much bigger, like anything above 10 to 30 million. And I liked kind of that 2 to 10 million pocket. It was so exciting. And I had lots of roles and I could fly everywhere and do what I needed to do, open up, you know, different countries and distribution deals and constantly going to shows. And it was all of that. And it was at the time on the outside kind of exciting, but on the inside, I totally imploded. So I wanted to start a branding agency. And this is coming off of the heels of .com. You know, many stores didn't even have websites, let alone on e-commerce. I knew that that's where the future was going. I started a consulting company coming off of that last high-level role, and I hated that because I was just doing a lot of the same, even though I was working for myself. So I had manifested the life that I wanted. And I remember like I was in therapy. I was like, I've gotten everything I wanted. I'm still miserable. None of this is working. And she was like, that's interesting. Let's stay there. You know how they are in talk therapy. They don't want to give you any solution. You're supposed to have your autonomy. And so it's just, yeah, let's stay there for a second. And I was like, bitch, I don't want to stay here. I'm paying you so I can get the fuck out. Like, come on, you're trying to help me. And it just literally, I would just swung myself almost into like so much bipolarity that I was nearly medicated for it, but I just needed some somatic rebalancing of my nervous system. And I feel like that's why I have all these little nuggets and bits and this, you know, I'm synthesizing all these different fields because I get it. I've just been through so much that I, you know, I can see myself differently, like I can see you guys differently. But Thanksgiving, very, very specifically, it was 2016, I want to say. Thanksgiving 2016, like I can see the reel now playing out. I was like, okay, there it is. And I was on the beach, I think it was Zuma in LA or somewhere like that. And I just was like, you know what? I just give up. I had been on a beautiful hike and I don't care anymore. I really don't. I don't care anymore. I obviously am not supposed to work for anybody else. Nothing's panning out. And I just don't care anymore. I really just want you to show me. And I sat there. I looked at the waves and it was a beautiful night. I had just gotten like some food at this bougie store in Malibu. And I was going to have dinner with myself. And I watched a sunset and I like the waves just had this neon glow to them. And I remember being so deeply present to the sounds and the textures. It kind of shook me in a way where I just launched back into my body. And I was like, God, they're neon. They're neon waves. I was like, oh, that's beautiful. I was like, wow, neon wave creative would be a cool name for something. And that's where New Wave Creative was born. And then eventually I had the hashtag as New Wave Creative, We Are the New. And I just ended up going with We Are the New. And that became my business. I launched it January 1st, 2017. And I literally dissolved it this year officially. And I had started Super Freak last year. And I was going to run both and just kind of do the branding mastery through Wear the New. But once again, my highest expression was like, it can all be under you. You are the Tallyverse. This is you. Superfreak can be anything you want it to be. And it's evolving constantly. You guys are helping shape that. But I had to let go of We Are the New. And it was, I really was ready to let go of it a lot earlier than I did, because it was still hard. There was still identity and it was still a what if, you know, because if Superfreak didn't work out, I can just always go back to doing branding stuff. Like, no big deal. If I, this just doesn't work and the business ain't businessing, I shut down. I don't have access to myself. Like, what if I just can't see anymore? And like, what if that happens? And like, that panic. I always have a plan B. And it was like that plan B left when I kind of imploded later in the summer of, well, actually, I would say late summer, late last year. There was this whole operating system implosion, which I think I've told you guys about. And my new operating system emerged. And it was further confirmation just to trust myself so deeply. Doesn't matter where it goes. All that matters is that you have yourself and you trust that. And that's manifestation in a nutshell, is trusting yourself so deeply that you free fall no matter what happens. You take the next step and then you take the next step and then you take that one next step. And even if you don't see the step, you trust that you are literally tandem skydiving. Your highest expression is behind you, guiding you, and all you have to do is enjoy the view. That's literally the best way I can explain how to trust the process and what unfolds. And then everything that comes up, right? The limiting belief systems, the lack patterns, the control patterns, everything that comes up in the process is part of the journey, because you don't want to have any of that stuff when the stakes get higher, because it's like oscillating really, really fast. You're oscillating so fast and you're able to create so much shift within yourself and those around you that you will properly, you can properly blow out people, even yourself. And you don't want to do that. It takes a lot more recovery as, let's say, a Formula F1 driver who has a really, really bad accident. There's a lot more emotional, mental recovery to kind of get back on the track and get back in the race than if you're going like 5 miles an hour. The damage is very, very different. So making big moves and having big lives is really about your ability to trust and access yourself no matter what. It's really a neutrality relationship and less of a, look, I can create, I'm such a badass relationship. The people who make big quote unquote moves take real, real big risks for the most part. They make big leaps of faith because they know that if that shit doesn't work out, then they will always create something else. They have a belief about themselves. It's not limiting in terms of their own potential. And if you don't have that potential or that way that you see yourself now, again, acting as if is a big deal. Because watch what happens if you ask, like, if $1 million hits your bank account tonight, how do you feel in your nervous system? You start clocking $15,000 of expenses a month, $25,000 of expenses a month, which is a 1.5 million earning potential a year in terms of the what most money experts will say you want to have a certain percentage of your annual whatever, right? If you're making 150,000 a year and 25,000 or 150,000 a month and 25,000 a month is just your mortgage, how does that feel in your nervous system? Most of us with money, money has no value. It's totally fiat. It's a man-made construct. It operates inside of a third dimension. It has no value, but it catalyzes all this emotion. That's why it has its own auric field and it's so powerful. So it's about trusting the guidance and claiming who you are and owning it in a way where it doesn't matter if anyone validates this outside of you. It doesn't matter if that thing is, you know, works or is a success. All that matters is there's an aspect of you that have, you've seen it, you had the idea, you are starting to experience being multidimensional in a very dense reality, and then you're taking steps forward to experience that even more. Can you hold who you are or who you want to be in a state of belief no matter what and not waver from it. Doesn't matter the level that you operate at, what frequency you operate at, how much money you're actually bringing in, the level of abundance that you quote unquote have access to. Doesn't matter. All that matters is how you're being with yourself as all of these things that you want to experience unfold. That, my friend, is manifestation mastery. And that is where the party is. So I'm going to leave you with this. If you didn't have the limiting beliefs about yourself, and if you're not sure what those are, just get into some conversation with people and observe what kind of feedback you give them when they're in fear and when they're in lack. Are you coming from a place of logic, or are you coming from a place of like, you're a badass, you can do anything, I'm going to hold that for you, I'm in support of you, I don't believe any of the things that you say about yourself to be true. In fact, I think it's the opposite. It's this, this, and this. Because if you want an insight into somebody's subconscious mind, just pay attention to how they talk about themselves. So if you didn't have the limitations that you think you have, just take a second to audit them for yourself. What are my limiting beliefs about myself? What would you be able to create? All right, y'all. See you next time. Thanks so much for listening, you guys. Please make sure to leave a review and follow the fun on social media, because that's how it works in this world. In the meantime, get your freak on. I'll see you in the next session.